Dear brothers and sisters and friends, this is the last night here on Sandy Island. We have just heard some beautiful words read from the Holy Scriptures. They are the words of our Master. I'd like to ask you all a question. You can answer it to yourselves. Is there anyone here who is unhappy? Is there anyone here who is unhappy? Are you happy? Are you happy? I am. I think that all of us can truthfully say that this week here at the Bible School has been one that has lifted us up and inspired us and brought us a little bit closer to our Creator, a little bit closer to our Master. It's been a wonderful week. We've had lovely weather. We've had a lot of pleasant association with other individuals that love and respect the same things that we do. But now the question comes before us, what are we going to do after we leave? What's going to happen now for the rest of the year? Some of us may not have another inspiring incident like this occur in our lives for one more year. Some of us may go into a community where we're somewhat alone. Some of us may go back to our ecclesias and the situation, the environment, the circumstances, the association that we have is entirely different. What are we going to do for the rest of the year? Now, it's natural for us to go back to our jobs, and go back to a daily routine of living. And if we're not careful, it could happen within a very short time that the inspiration and the uplifting that we receive at a Bible school slips away from us. Now, what I would like to say tonight is primarily with the thought in mind that the effect of a Bible school, the effect of a Bible school will stay with us for a longer period of time. And perhaps the stimulation that we receive here in heart and in soul and in mind will carry on and help us to carry on for many, many months to come, regardless of where we are or what we are called upon to do. Jesus said, a man's life, in the 15th verse of the 12th chapter, Jesus said, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses. Now, here on Sandy Island, most of us have fallen back into a very crude way of living in many ways. We've lived in tents. We've had to do without many of the conveniences that we have at home. The beds haven't been as comfortable as the beds we have at home. It's been cold and at night maybe a little bit uncomfortable. And perhaps we find that considered from all of the modern conveniences that we have in our homes, this is somewhat of a crude way of living. But still, it hasn't taken from our happiness. Still, it hasn't taken from us that which uplifts us, makes us feel good. When Jesus said, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things that he possesses, I think here on Sandy Island, we have a very excellent opportunity to realize that. Because I personally feel that I am in an environment like this a lot happier than I could possibly be in a city where I live, surrounded by all of the rough and tumble of city life, in with all kinds of people in the world. However, we have to have that. That's what sharpens us and helps us develop our characters. But still, when Jesus said, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things that he possesses, Jesus knew what he was talking about. Now, particularly you young folks, when you get back, it's going to be easy to start thinking again about your career in school, or about the house that you might want to buy, or a car that you might want to buy, or a lot of material things that you have in mind that you're working for, which is all right. Nothing wrong with that. But that's not what makes your life, and that's not what makes our life. The amount of clothes we have, the kind of house we live in, the kind of car we own, the kind of job we have, that's not what makes our life. Our life is not made up of material things. And the thoughts that I want to suggest tonight are designed to help us to recognize that fact. That life is made up of things a lot deeper and a lot more beautiful and a lot more worthwhile than material things. In the kind of world we live, it's very easy to have our perspective distorted. And we measure everything surrounding us with a dollar sign. And that's not right. Our treasure is not measured with a dollar sign. Our treasure is not measured with material things. I bring these thoughts out so that when we go back, we put first things first. We have had, for 1 week, emphasized that this Bible school, the things that pertain to God, the things that pertain to life, not life for 50 years or 60 years, the things that pertain to life eternal. The most valuable thing that you and I have is life. We covered this considerably in the class with the young folks. The most valuable thing that you and I have is life. Now you think for a minute. You might own a beautiful boat that's worth $5,000 out on this lake. But if that boat capsizes and you're out there in the middle of this lake, you forget the value of that boat, $5,000. You then have your perspective straightened out. Things are brought into their proper focus, and you know that the most valuable thing you have is your life. You forget the boat immediately. If you live in a house that's worth $30,000 and that house catches fire, you don't stay in there and try to preserve the $30,000 you have invested in that house. You run out as fast as you can, and you and I would be mighty thankful if we get out and save our life, because life can't be measured by material things or things that have a dollar sign over them. The most worthwhile thing in life, the most valuable thing that we have now, is life. So if that is so, if that is true, when we leave the Bible school, what are we going to do about taking care of our life? What are we going to do about preserving life? What are we going to do about living, period, not for 50 or 60 years, but living eternally? What are we going to do about it when we leave here? Are we going to go back into the old routine of thinking about our jobs and all of our problems and all of the things and bother us in our homes and in our neighborhood? Are we going to go back and do that? Or are we going to go back and follow the teachings of our Master? Now, it doesn't matter how old we are. We can learn to properly focus values in our life. We can teach our children, those of us who have children, can teach our children that the things that count in life are not things that are passing, things that are material, things that we can feel and see that are made of wood and stone. The things that count in life are things that are actually measured by the dollar sign, free. Friendship, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, justice, truth, honesty, all of these things we can have free. They don't cost anything except humility and determination on our part to have them. A little perseverance, a little struggle to get them and develop them in our life. But there's no dollar sign measure over it. I want to just say these few words so that as we leave the Bible school, our perspective is straightened out. Let us not lose it. As we leave here, let us put God first in our lives. Let us give God the first place, as we mentioned in our class with the young folks. God does take a place in our life, whether we realize it or not. He takes a place in the life of every individual on this earth. And how does God take a place in everybody's life? By giving them food, by giving them rain, by giving them sunshine, by providing them with all that they need. The scriptures tell us that God is even good to the unthankful and the evil. God does take a place in everybody's life, but that's not the place that God is interested in, not the place that He takes. God is interested in the place that you give Him. Now God is watching to see the place that you give Him in your life. Is God third place, a fourth place, a fifth place? Is your job more important than the things of God? Is your house and the things that pertain to your house more important than the things of God? God must have first place. And if we learn this simple truth and try to develop our life by it, none of us will be disappointed. I would like to call to your attention the 31st verse of the 12th chapter. Jesus said, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Rather seek ye the kingdom of God. In the book of Matthew it is recorded this way: "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." And Jesus teaches, consider the ravens, consider the lilies, consider all these things surrounding you. God takes care of them. How much more will God take care of you, O ye of little faith? And God is looking for individuals who have that determination and that desire to choose to put him first in their lives, and then God will take care of the rest. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And if you want to have a life that is filled with peace and happiness, with love, with joy, with things that are worthwhile, God will see that you get it. God will see that you get the material things in life if you put him first. But God waits for us to give him the place that he deserves first. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, in closing, I'd like to tell you a little story. There was a man who was sentenced to death in prison. He was sentenced to death in June, and he was to die in December. While he was in this prison cell, he began to look around him, and he thought it was a mighty crude and uncomfortable-looking place. He began to think about the cell that he was living in. So he knew that he only had 6 months to live. But still, while he lived 6 months, he felt, "I might as well make this cell more comfortable." So he started to decorate the walls, and the hard bench he was sitting on wasn't comfortable enough, so he asked for a nice soft chair, and he got himself a lamp that he could use, and he made this place very comfortable. While he was in the process of making this cell very, very comfortable and neat and attractive, a man came to him and said, "I know a lawyer. I know a lawyer. In fact, he's the only lawyer that can approach the king." He said, "Now, if you go to this lawyer and tell him what your problem is, I think that through this lawyer you can get a reprieve of the death sentence. I think you can get released from the death sentence and go free." So the lawyer went to him after the first month, and the man looked at him and he says, "Well, I'm busy now." He said, I haven't finished painting that wall yet." He says, "I want to work on that wall. I'll think about it a little while." So the lawyer goes back to him the second month, and he says, "Look, I know a lawyer. If you get him in time," he says, "why, this lawyer can approach the king, and you have a very good opportunity of having the death sentence taken away and released from this prison." The man disregarded him, didn't pay any attention to him. He was too busy. He was thinking about how comfortable he was going to make his cell. It sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Of course, the man did that for 6 months, and when the time came, he died. He was put to death as the judge had sentenced him to die. God has done the very same thing. God has done the very same thing. All of us here are, as it were, in prison. This earth we live are, in a way, is a prison house. We all know we're going to die someday. We all know that. So God comes along, or someone comes along and says, "Look, I know someone," or "I know a lawyer, I know someone that can approach the king and get this death away from you and can release you so that you can be free." What would you and I do in that position? Would you say, "Show me where he is, let me to him as quick as you can. Give me his address, I'll write to him"? Or would you be like the foolish man who just spent his time making his cell comfortable, making his cell attractive, and in the meantime, time was going on, and when his day appointed came, it was his end? Are you and I, or so many other people in the world, like this foolish man? We're so busy worrying about making this cell or the earth that we live on with this life that we have attractive, with our homes and with our automobiles and with our clothes and with everything else that we have? Are we too busy making this cell that we're living in attractive and not busy and not concerned enough with getting a release from this inevitable end? You think about it. Just as foolish as it would be for a man in prison to tell you, I'm not interested in getting released from that death sentence, or as it were, I'm too busy decorating my cell, so foolish will it be for us to ignore the pleas of individuals who are constantly coming to you and say, look, here is what can release you. Here is the paper that you can have, or here is the individual that can approach God as a lawyer or as an advocate or as a mediator, can approach God, and in his name you can be saved, you can be released. Let us think and not behave ourselves foolishly. We can be very wise if we choose to do so. And as we leave the Bible school, let us try to put into practice the teachings of Jesus, and particularly the one which states, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.